Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of communication and how that affects your relationship with your child and your child's behaviors. And today, we have special guests, Don and Gina Grodoff. And they are behavior transformation specialists. They work with families, teaching families communication skills that not only helps the behaviors of children, but also improves the parent-child relationship. I'm very happy to have them on today. Thank you for being here, Don and Gina.
Thank you for having us.
Looking forward to it.
How do I know whether or not I'm a good or bad communicator with my child? Like, how would I know whether or not this video is going to be really important to me?
Well, the name of the workshop we do is based on the book called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. So if you find yourself frustrated that you're saying things over and over again and your kids aren't listening to you, right? Or you're wanting them to be more independent. Maybe you're constantly having to remind them to do things, get homework done, remember all their items before they leave.
You're not really getting cooperation from them.
And it can be in any area. You know, communication is something that we all could use to improve, right? In our lives in general.
Well, we talk about, we have a line that we use that, behavior is a foreign language. A lot of people don't realize that behavior isn't really the issue. It's really a means of communication, and it's really about what underlines the behavior issue is the real problem. So if you can understand the behavior as a communication and figure ways of being able to communicate with that child, you can then get down and start working on the real issue.
Mm-hmm. Let's give this audience some action item tips that they can use today. Let's say their child has a behavior issue. You are ready to pull your hair out because you're frustrated and you're a parent. But what is some of the first things that we can do as parents to help a situation when we got our kids not behaving the way that we want them to?
So no matter what's going on with your kid, the first thing you can do is describe the situation. You know, you walk in the room and your kids are fighting. You know, I see you both want this toy. You're trying to pull it away from each other, or you're trying to hit each other. Just describing the situation, it can work in a variety of different ways.
Well, and not going after the character of the child.
Right. So you're describing what you're seeing. You're not saying, you know, what's wrong with you? You're saying, I see that you're trying to yank this toy out of their hand, or I see you're so angry that you're throwing, you know, your toys in your room. You're throwing some of your favorite things, or you're, you know, whatever they're doing.
Yeah. And really descriptive of what you see is happening.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And then, you know, when you want to engage their cooperation, there's a lot of different things you can do. One can be giving them choices. You know, it's time to get ready for bed. Would you like me to help you pick up the toys, or would you like to do it yourself? So you're giving them choices. Both of them are the outcome you're looking for. Sometimes kids need a little direction. They need to be able to choose between this or that. It's time to eat your snack before bed. Do you want this or that?
And before you go to the next one, I want to comment on that because I love giving children choices. It empowers them. Mm-hmm. And it's so much more effective to get what you want in the long run than it is to be directive and say, put on your shoes. We need to get out the door. It's actually, you get a lot better response from children when you give them a choice about which shoes do you want to get on? Let's put them on so we can get out the door. Which shoes? And just something about having a choice and giving them that little bit of power, it makes the whole situation so much more comfortable for the child. Now right. They feel like they're not being bossed around and they feel like they have a little bit of say in their own life, which is going to go again, a way far in your parenting relationship with your child.
Exactly.
Well, the other thing I like is the one, my favorite ones is they call it giving it to them in fantasy. So you have a child that, they want a certain type of cereal that, and you don't have any of it, but they're demanding it. You have some fun. You know, I used to like to have a lot of fun with my kids and say, you know, I wish I had this big, huge magic wand and poof, poof, I could make a huge box of that cereal right there for you. And then instead of saying, but, you say, the problem is we don't have any right now. Would you rather have this? And then you pull the choice in. So there's a lot of things in what we do that have like kind of a chain effect. You can use one thing and it leads to, you're kind of given this wish and fantasy. And then you're saying, but the problem is that we don't have it. So we've got this or this. So it's having some fun with it, I think, can make a big difference too.
And again, it acknowledges their strong desires, you know, what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And I love how you're going back to the communication. It's really how you word what mm-hmm. you want from your child. It's, are you going to be directive or are you going to give a choice? Are you going to make it a little bit more fun? And I know you're frustrated and we're going to, you know, play with the scenario, or are we just going to be like, I don't have any of that right now. You know, yeah. It's all about how you're communicating to them. It sets the tone. How did you determine that communication was an important part of parenting in your practicing?
I think part of it stemmed from, we have a daughter that has anxiety disorder, suffered from severe OCD from a young age. And in our process of getting help for her, going to different professionals, looking at all different types of resources, alternative modalities, that we realized there was something missing despite all these things that were helping in pieces. And the big part of that was how we communicated with her. And we saw such a huge difference. I had gotten the book when our kids were really young. And when we started going back to that and looking at how we were talking to her and how we were listening and engaging her cooperation, it really was kind of that missing piece that made a big difference in helping her with her recovery.
When I think I had to learn kind of, I guess, the hard way in a way with her, because one of the big things with OCD is you really fighting it and resisting it, and the way you talk to them makes a huge difference. And I was one that was, when it first hit our home, when OCD first came into our home, I was one that was going, no way, you know, she had issues with having to have things cleaned, something would touch something or whatever. And I would just, bear down on my heels and say, there's not no way that, versus having to learn compassion and dealing with it in a different way of not so much resistance or fighting it, but learning how to deal with it in a better way. I had to learn. I kind of always said I was kind of military in how I did things, even though I've never been in the military. I was very rigid and very, had to be done this way, and that didn't work. So that's one of the ways I had to especially learn to change my communication to make it work better.
I love that you're coming from a place of personal experience. That's how I am too in my practice. There's so many things that I learned along the way through my own children because mm-hmm. they had a need that I needed to figure out how to fix and feel and empathize with and, work with them the best way I could. And so it's nice to hear that now we just get to pass on our great knowledge to other parents so that they don't have to go through quite as many struggles as we did, right? Yeah. But along those lines, it's like, okay, so now I know I have a child that has some behavior issues, and you're telling me, okay, might be some of my communication that I need to work on. Where do I start with that? Where does a parent who's listening to this video right now say, okay, how do I start this process of helping my child?
I think the first thing I would say is stop. Just stop for, because in the book, one of the biggest principles about it is teaching them how to listen.
Yeah.
you know, and being able to really understand their feelings and accept their feelings, not just, we tend to be fixers, at least I know for myself, and we want to be able to answer it, fix it, resolve it, you know, come up with ideas for it, all that. And a lot of times we have to stop ourselves and just say, wait a minute, let me really get an idea of what you're going through, what you're feeling.
Yeah, a lot of times when we just stop and our kid comes at us and they're angry and upset or whatever, if we can just stop and listen to them and acknowledge, you know, stop what else we're doing and hear their frustration. And you really don't need to respond with more than just occasional, like, wow, or you sound upset, a couple words. Sometimes that's all our kids need. And it's amazing the times we remember to do that and be like, and then they run off to figure out the problem themselves.
And I like that you are really referring that listening is communicating, and mm-hmm. they're one and the same. They go together. I think we forget that as parents, that we hear that I need to be a better communicator. I need to communicate better with my child. And we forget the other 50% of communication, which is just listening, just taking it in. And so many times our children just need to be heard. There's that great human need inside of us just for somebody to hear us and not, like you said, not necessarily have to fix everything. We want to empower our kids to be able to fix things themselves. We obviously don't want to enable our children. But if you had just one word that you want could describe what you find the most important in parenting, what would that be?
For me, it's the word respect. We want our children to be respectful, to respect us. And what we often forget is that we need to respect our children, you know, just like we need to respect their feelings. They're having a bad day. We do some workshops and we do the example of how you would respond to your kid is different than, say, a friend coming over. Your friend comes over and they accidentally spill water, right? You're going to jump in and help them out. You're not going to scream at them, what did you do? So thinking about how we're talking to our kids, would we talk to a good friend the same way, right? Just like if we're upset, we want to be heard. We want someone to just listen, not fix it for us, not try to, you know, problem solve, not try to intervene in the situation. We want to be heard. And so kind of stepping back and thinking about that, you know, our children are people. And they've got people constantly telling them what to do, where, when to be, you know, what to do, where to go, how to do things. They want some autonomy. They want to have some independence. And so realizing, you know, they're a whole person, no matter what age they are. And we need to listen to them, understand where they're coming from.
I like to tell my parents that I work with that you can't teach your child respect without being respectful to them. Mm-hmm. It's really a two-way street. And I think that as parents, that's one of the mistakes that we make from time to time is we just forget that our kids are not lower than us. Like we tend to just to kind of like demean and like look down and talk down to them sometimes because we're the adult and we are the authority figure. And really, they're just as important. They're amazing people, and learning to have more of that eye level type of communication and respect for each other mm-hmm. can go so far in your relationship with them.
Well, we one of the other big lines that we talk when we're talking with parents is, which would you rather have, an hour long battle that gets no results or a 15-minute conversation? And that's what good communication gives you, that 15 minute.
And you think, okay, we need to get out the door. I don't have time to discuss this with you. But then you wind up in a battle with them. Even if you get out the door, it lasts later. They get resentful of you. They're angry. They're not, and they're, you know, tuning you out, not cooperating. So it's creating a bigger problem.
Yeah, because they usually, kids handle problem situations and our responses in two different ways. One way they internalize it. Oh, I must be a terrible kid because I made dad mad. So they're beating themselves up. Their confidence is shot to heck. Or they go down the other path of resentment. You know, yeah, he got it now. You know, dad got the answer he wanted now, but I'll show him next time, or there's just a resentment that builds up. And so we don't, that's what you don't want. And that's what we're, the communication really can help to change, is you don't get that. You get, you're building a relationship with that child,
right,
a powerful, empowering relationship with the child. You know, if you care enough that you've come to somebody for help, or you care enough that you're worried about that, you're a good parent in my eyes. You know?
And it doesn't matter how long the problem's been going on, what the age of your child is, you can always affect the relationship. You can always improve it, improve the communication, and improve the relationship that you have with your child. Even you've worked with some adults with grown children and have improved the relationships, you know, when they're in their 30s and 40s, that there's always time to improve the relationship. So.
I love that sentiment of, you know, giving yourself some grace as a parent, because it's not mm-hmm. easy. There's no manual. Every kid is different. And right when you got things figured out, the next kid comes along and those things that you did the first time don't work with the second kid. And then you're like, yeah. why not? Yeah. And what's going on? And it's just because every person is different and every upbringing, and you might seem like you're doing the same thing again, but it's just, it's all a little bit different, and it affects things. And I, because mm-hmm. you're here and you're asking questions and you're watching this video and you're seeking some kind of knowledge and help, like outside of your own little world, says you're trying your hardest and you're a good mom or dad. And if people are listening to this and they're resonating with what you're saying, tell us a little bit more about what you do and how they can reach out to you.
We've kind of talked about this. My idea is that we really want to elevate parents to a different place, give them options that, other ways of doing it. We kind of believe in meeting somebody where they're at,
right,
and taking them where they want to go, not us, you know, pushing them there, but, you know, trying to give them a lot of different options of ways of doing things as a parent that will elevate them, that will get them into a better place. Full program, we go into mindset work, how to change mindset, you know, getting the baggage out from the parents, you know, letting go of that.
So we work both one-on-one with families, and we do communication workshops.
You can find out, we have at focushealthyfamily.com, we have an events page, and we have those workshops on there. The August 22nd is the first one this year.
And parents, don't forget all the resources that The Impactful Parent has for you. You can go to The Impactful Parent website at theimpactfulparent.com. And on there, you'll also see some paid programs. And one of those is my behavior management program, Helping Kids with Big Emotions. This program is an online do-it-yourself program where you can work at your own pace. And it really helps children that have anger management issues or high anxiety. And you can take that course independently, or you can take it also with me. Go and check that out at theimpactfulparent.com. Until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.